All right, as we had mentioned on the text notification here a little while ago, we are honored to have Elder Picklesheimer. It's a pre-recorded message from November 9th, 2007 at West Coast Conference, a message that Elder Picklesheimer preached. The title is The Anointing Oil. The Anointing Oil. And of course, I'm honored to hear this because there's a special place in my heart for Elder Picklesheimer. He was my first pastor as a little boy in San Diego. Brother Picklesheimer was our pastor, and it's always a special thing to hear his voice and to feel his anointing with us once again. We want to give thanks to Brother Sean and Brother Jacob, who have been helping us in providing these messages and uploading them into our system. So I'm going to go ahead and begin. We are going to go ahead and hear this message. It's broken up into two parts. Tonight's message will be approximately 20 minutes long. Once again, this is Elder Picklesheimer, and the title is The Anointing Oil. Praise God.
I want to say this. Brother Picklesheimer has pastored the last about 25 to 30 years in Twin Falls, Idaho. And he graciously, now he has not retired from the ministry, only from pastoring. He graciously passed the mantle to Brother Collins, and it's been a beautiful thing and a beautiful example, and we appreciate it. Now let me tell you one thing about Brother Picklesheimer. All of our life, these last 45 years, he always plays dumb. Like a I'm telling you, he'll just, like, let me tell you, there's more in this man's noggin than some of you'll ever get. He just plays dumb. That's the only part of hypocrisy about him that I've known. I just want to know you're not perfect, but he ain't dumb.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated for a moment. Thank you, Elder Morton. And I know that I'm not given to flattery. Flattery is wrong. That's a sin. Compliments, okay. But this man behind me who has sponsored this meeting, this is a great man. And I use the term great. He is a great man. This is a great man. I'm not trying to flatter him. I'm not trying to do that at all. But history will record. History's being made right here, right now. And Vaughn Morton is right in the forefront of it. And God has used him in a wonderful way. This is one of the most Christian men that I know in my life, that I've ever met. He is a Christian. He is an example. He is a godly man, and he is a great man. No, he would disavow that, but he is a great man. And God bless you, Brother Morton. And he has and he will. Praise the Lord. Let me just say something to really preface nothing, but some of you may be going through a trial or a test right now. Obviously, quite a few are, because God's people are tested people. We have to be tested to see what we're made of. What is our metal? M-E-T-T-L-E. What's our metal? What we're made of. But you know what? You that are going through a trial or a test right now, I want to tell you, I just felt like saying this. A trial or a test is your compass. That's as close as and accurate as I could say to define it. It's a compass. You don't make it from here to heaven without a compass. The Word of God's our compass. But trials and tests are like a compass to us. They give you your direction. When you're right going through it, you may wonder if that's true, but it is true. You see, Laodicea, the church in Revelation, they had no cross. They had no cross. Laodicea had no cross. And it had no compass. It was adrift and not know where it's going or what it's doing. You ought to thank God for the compass. If you're out there, and of course they have GPS now and everything, but if you were someplace where you needed a compass, well, there's nothing else that can do the job. And that trial And that test that you're in right now, that's a compass for you. It's going to give you direction. It's going to give you direction. Praise the Lord.
Thank God.
I'm not going to read this, but in Exodus chapter 36, and I am aware of the time, and I will respect that. We have what we've heard here the last day and a half or so has been wonderful, from Brother Perdue on down to these other men. And they've had some wonderful things. Brother Bertram preached a wonderful message last night, didn't he?
Amen.
Did a great job. He's down there in San Diego. That's the land of my nativity. I am a Californian, born and raised in California. Born and raised in San Diego, south of San Diego, a little town called Imperial Beach. That's where I was raised, grew up there. Got the Holy Ghost. Got the Holy Ghost in 1957, a little over 50 years now. And my mind, as I come back to California, run this corridor up north and south, Highway 99, maybe 5, my mind is flooded with memories.
Yes.
This town, that town, who used to be there? This man was there, this man was there. And, you know, these men were my heroes.
Yes.
These were men that we looked to. And memories come flooding back. And I remember the wonderful church where I was saved in National City, California, under Brother Lehman Reynolds in January of 57. What a wonderful, wonderful atmosphere. The beautiful presence of the Lord, the gifts of the Spirit in operation, holiness preached, everything. And we grew up in that, and then I pastored in Imperial Beach for 15 years. And served the Lord in California about 25 years ago, 25 it was. And then we moved to Idaho. Here we were in a beautiful atmosphere, beautiful presence, church, section, friends, relatives, all just so wonderful, so beautiful. And we went to a veritable wasteland. Holiness was not preached. Worship was not preached. Doctrine was not preached strong. And sometimes I wondered, what was I doing here? What was I doing here? But you know what? When you preach the word of the Lord and you declare what saith the Lord, God's going to back up his word. God's going to back it up. The church that I pastored for 25 years in Idaho is now 82 years old. When I went there, there were a few old people that remembered in 1931 when G.T. Haywood preached there. It has an enormous amount of history behind it. And the devil wanted that church. He wanted to take it down. And he almost had it down. He almost did. But somehow God allowed us to go there and just preach what we preached here. And God did a wonderful work. We love California. God bless all the Californians and a lot of them up in Idaho now. But anyway, I want to read to you from Psalms 133. You know, really, I took off my watch. It's like the little boy went to church with his mother and say, Mom, what are they doing? What's this? What's that? What's that? She tried to explain, and the preacher took off his watch and set it up here. He said, Mom, what does that mean? She said, it doesn't mean anything, honey. It means nothing. But I'll try to respect the time. God bless you. Psalms 133 has some beautiful things for us. This message it's a Bible study. It's going to be allegorical. Psalms 133, behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And I never could understand verses 2 and 3, how that fit with verse 1. It, that's the unity, is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, and the dew of as the dew of Hermon, and as the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. God Almighty said, this is what it's like, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like that oil. Now I'd like to read to you from Exodus chapter 30 and beginning at verse 22. We want to talk about that oil. Exodus 30 and 22. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hin. Those are measurements. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table and all his vessels, and the candlestick and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver and his foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they be most holy. Whosoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. In other words, it is not common. It is not to be used for anything common. Neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it, for it is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever putteth any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people. You may be seated. God bless you. To just preface this, I'd like to say, in the work of the Lord, in the work of God, the ministry has to have a spiritual revelation. We need it, brethren. We need to hear from God. We need to see things in the Spirit. As you look on through the book of Exodus and on into chapter 36, I won't read that, but I'll just refer to it, that God was giving them instructions, the men into whose heart he had put wisdom and knowledge to work skillfully. God's work isn't done in a haphazard manner. God's work ought to be the most profound. It ought to be the most concentrated. It ought to be the most deliberate thing we do. And so God had the curtains made and the hangings made. And upon those curtains and hangings, they embroidered cherubim. Cherubim. Moses could tell the workers, say, now, I want you to embroider a cherubim on this curtain. The man can look at him and say, okay, all right. What does a cherubim look like? Well, that'd be kind of hard to describe. And I don't know, maybe this is just something that I like to think about, a little bit ethereal, but you know, think about it. That man went to bed that night and he said, man, tomorrow I've got to do some embroidery. I've got to put a cherubim on a curtain. I've got to take needle and thread and I have to embroider. I have to put a cherubim on this curtain. And I don't even know what one looks like. I don't even know what they are. But I've been commanded to do something that I don't have the skill for. I have a great skill level in working with these things, but to put a cherubim, I don't know what they look like. Grant me a poet's license just a little bit here, okay? I may be doing this. But anyway, I could see him as he went to bed that night, laying on his pallet in his tent, his eyes looking up, drifting off to sleep, and all of a sudden, or something like that, whatever noise the wings make. And up above his bed, this beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous creature. These wings. Because he had to make them out of gold, too, for their wings to touch each other over the Ark of the Covenant. God spoke to his heart, or his heart knew, that's a cherubim. I know what they look like now. I can do it. I can do it because I've seen one. You see, we need a spiritual revelation to do the work of the Lord. If we try to do the work of the kingdom just in ourselves, if we try to do the work of God in ourselves, it won't be beautiful like that. That was beautiful. You say, is that the way he got it? I don't know, but he had to get it some way. He had to get it some way. Moses couldn't have said, now you make the wing and you make the head and you make the foot. No, that guy had to see one. He had to see one to make it right. And in the work of God, we've got to have a revelation. Yes. Gentlemen, we have to have preachers. We have to have a revelation. We have to hear from God to know what is beautiful in his work and in his cause. If we try to do it just in ourselves and put any old thing in the church and in the work of God, it's not going to get the job done, and God won't approve it. So to preface what I've said, we need a spiritual revelation. Our eyes have to be open into the work of God and to the working of the Spirit, because that's what we work in. We work in things of the Spirit. Oh, we build buildings and we paint buildings and we drive buses. Man, we've done all that. We do all those things. But yet we really, when it comes down to working with people, we work in the Spirit. We work in the Spirit. And things have to be done in the Spirit. We have to ask God, God, how am I going to take care of this? How am I going to handle it? What am I going to do about this? I don't know. I don't understand. And the Lord will come with wisdom and with knowledge and says, this is the way I want you to handle it. The Lord's spoken to all of us at different times and given us some beautiful messages. And we need to hear from him. If you're going to be in success, I use that word qualifying, but success in the kingdom of God, you have to have a spiritual revelation. Yes. There has to be some things come only from God.
Right.
And so anyway, when the writer put this down in Psalms 133, he said, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And then he said, it's like the ointment that was made that they anointed Aaron with. They anointed all the articles of the furniture. But they anointed Aaron, and that beautiful ointment went all the way down to his feet. He said, this is what fellowship's like. Fellowship is like this anointing oil. And there has to be a divine appointment to an office for fellowship and unity to prevail. You don't get it through elections. There's some things you can't get through elections. But in God's cause, Aaron was the high priest. This was divine. He had a divinely appointed office. And when that ointment was poured over him to designate his office being instituted, this was something that was like fellowship and unity. We have to have this. If we're going to have fellowship and we're going to have unity, we have to be anointed by Almighty God.
Yes.
And there can be no fellowship with someone who's in God's work for himself. Because they said, now don't you put this just on the flesh of a man. Don't use it just after shave lotion or perfume or potpourri or something like that. If you use it for anything else than what I have determined, it will become a curse. That's what he said. He said, you can't put this, it's not common. You can't put it on man's flesh. You can't have fellowship with someone who is in this for himself. If a man has a call of God or doesn't have a call of God but wants a call of God and is in the work of God for himself. You see, Aaron was anointed by God for a service, for a position. And someone who is in this for themselves, it is very difficult to have fellowship with someone who's in this. Some people are uncalled. They're not anointed. If you find a man who presumes to be called, and I said not assumes, but that is the height of presumption. Someone who's not called, but wants to be called. Now, I'm sorry, but this does exist. This does exist. Men who want to be called of God to preach, but they're not. This does exist. There's no anointing there. The ointment has not poured down over him like it did with Aaron. And it was for one reason, and that was for service and for serving. God said, don't you use this for anything else, or you shall be cut off from among the people. Some of us might say, well, I'll go make my own. No, God said, you can't even do that. You can't even make your own. This is for fellowship of service. This is for an anointing to the service of God. This is an anointing to minister before the Lord for his people. There has to be an anointing for that. And if you take a man who is not called of God,
who
wants to be called to preach, but is not called to preach and does not have this anointing, he's going to ruin everything. He'll ruin everything he touches in the kingdom of God. It can't be that way. This is not for yourself. It's not for me. It's not for some other man. Remember, his holy anointing oil was for the office of service. That's what it was for. Someone, if they want to get anointed for a personal motive, I appreciate what Brother Morton said to us last night. No personal motives involved. Gentlemen, we can't want to get anointed for him. And I have to have the holy anointing oil. Someone who's not called to preach but presumes to enter into that office is going to ruin things. Somebody wants to get anointed for a personal motive and not being divinely appointed and called, it results in confusion, and ultimately there's a curse involved. Can't do it. It's a serious thing. It is the height of presumption to say, I am called to preach, but you're not. I mean, that's something that I'm sure there's young men here who want to be a preacher, who want to be called to preach, and that's fine. That's good. That's good. You ought to want to. Somebody desires the office of bishop. He said he desires a good work. But you just, pastors, just make sure that those young men working with you, make sure you know what their calling is. I had some young men working with me in Twin Falls, Idaho. The Lord helped raise up. There's still some of them there. They can preach. I mean, they can do a wonderful job. But that is the limit of their calling, to help. To help in the church.
Hear this.
I'm called to go out and do the work of God. Brother Collins came up under us, and I knew the Holy Ghost spoke to me that he was the one to take that job. But these other men, we have to realize in 2 Corinthians, I'll just refer to that also, the Apostle Paul talked about a measure. He says, we have a measure to reach unto you. He said, we don't extend ourselves past our measure. When God anoints a man, he gives him a measure to reach other people. If he calls him for a job and a position, he's going to qualify that man for that position. There's going to be an anointing there.
Praise God. Praise God. What a tremendous message. And this is just the first half, church. And boy, just listening to this, you were precisely the anointing oil. We can feel the anointing and the spiritual anointing oil as Elder Picklesheim was ministering to us, and that's exactly what he was doing. Boy, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost just talking about this. I just made a few notes, and I just want to read this. We need a spiritual revelation to do the work of God. We need a spiritual revelation to do the work of God. And of course, he was referring to Moses when witnessing the cherub and what it looked like. He had to have a spiritual revelation to be able to replicate that, to be able to do what God had asked him to do in the construction of the tabernacle and all the artifices and everything that was going to go into that tabernacle. He also talked about the anointing oil that came down Aaron's beard, and he tied that into unity and fellowship. And what a thing that we're needing right now in the situation that we're going through in the last several months. We are not in this for ourselves, the elder said. We are not in this for ourselves. How powerful, how insightful these words. But it's for the office of the service of God. And in our case, it's for the office of service for the rest of the body. We look forward to hearing the rest of this message next Monday night. I'm sure you're going to want to hear it. Someone texted in saying, boy, I missed the first part of it, but I need to hear this from the very beginning. Church, we all need to hear this again in the next day or so when it gets posted up to our website. And you know what? We're going to take this anointing oil right now, church, and we're going to pray specifically for Brother Ray Smith. And I spoke to Alice, and she texted me today and let me know that, yes, he's needing a touch. Pastor Clark mentioned it yesterday in service. Why don't we take this oil that we're feeling right now in the Holy Ghost, and let's pray for Brother Ray Smith and any other needs that we may know about. Let's go ahead and do that together right now. Lord Jesus, we're asking you, Lord God, to reach down, Lord, and touch Brother Ray Smith and wherever he's at in that hospital bed right now, Lord God. And he may be feeling down and depressed, Lord God, and feeling doubt and fear, but we're asking you to give him an infusion of faith, Lord, an infusion of your anointing right now. Hallelujah, Lord. We're asking you to touch him, to give him that strength, Lord, give him that faith and that knowledge and understanding that everything's going to be all right. In the name of Jesus, we pray. We pray by faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're taking some of that faith we heard last night from Brother Rao. But let's continue to meditate upon the great things that we've heard from Elder Picklesheimer tonight, church, and let's be praying. Let's be praying with faith over the next several days, and we look forward to seeing everyone on Wednesday night. God bless all of you. Have a great night in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.